Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace, celebrating 20 years of discipling others through Charis Bible College worldwide. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started yesterday talking about Paul's secrets to happiness. And I actually have 20 things listed out of the book of Philippians that Paul spoke about that actually caused him to have this outlook and experience this tremendous happiness in the midst of terrible persecution and bad situations. I tell you, there's some great lessons for us to learn in this. Let me just say that our offices are open again today. Yesterday was in Canada and in the U.S. It was Labor Day, and we had our phone center closed. But today, our phones are back up, and I really encourage you to get this teaching. This is important. People are going to great lengths trying to experience happiness today, and they're looking in all of the wrong places. People are looking, you know, for a pill, for a dope, for booze, for all of these things, entertainment. Most people are addicted to the TV, and just they sit there and they're mesmerized by it. I'm telling you, it's not to be found in any of these things. Our happiness is in Jesus. I'm going to share some things that are going to make a huge difference in your life. Let me also just say that today is the beginning of our 2014-2015 school year. And this will be our very first grand opening in our new facility up in Woodland Park. I am really, really excited about that. We've got all of the previous instructors that have ministered in the school that are coming back. We're having some special things. I believe that all of this is being live streamed. You can go to our website and check that out. But most of you are seeing these programs early in the morning. You could go and check out our day activities. And for the next two or three days, we're going to have special things there from the sanctuary in Woodland Park. And I tell you, I'm just excited. We're expecting well over 700 students to start this school year. And if you include our whole system, last year we had 5,300 people in all of our extension schools, correspondence, online, and things like that around the world. This year, of course, I don't know the exact number, but I expect it'll be over 6,000 people now are being trained through our Charis Bible College network. And I'm really excited about that. So let me get back into this teaching about Paul's secrets to happiness. And I've got a list of 20 things. Now, the very first thing that I'm going to say that was a secret to him being happy isn't found in the book of Philippians. It's the only one out of these 20 that isn't in Philippians. I'm using this verse in Acts chapter 16 and in verses 9 and 10. I read these verses yesterday to give a background about Paul going to Philippi and how he was beaten and put in the stocks. He and Silas began to pray and sing praises to God at midnight. God sent an earthquake, and all of the people in the prison, the jailers, all of these things happened. People got saved. It was just a powerful, powerful experience. And here's this man who was beaten and under these terrible circumstances, and yet he was just worshiping God at midnight with his feet and hands in the stock. How could he do that? Well, here's one of the keys. The very first thing I want to mention is in Acts chapter 16, verse 10. It says, after he had seen this vision, the previous verse talked about that he saw a man of Macedonia saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And this was in a dream. So this was a night vision. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So here's the very first thing that I believe is one of the keys to true happiness, and that is that Paul knew what God had called him to do. He obeyed it and was doing what God told him to do. So you could say this, that he was in the center of God's will, and because of that, then whatever happened, he could rejoice and praise God because he knew that he was there at God's will. Now, this is big. And I don't think that most people put the importance on this that it really should have. But for you to experience true happiness, you have to know that you're doing what God made you to do. Now, I could spend weeks ministering on this one point. I'm trying to move on and cover 20 things that were the keys to Paul's happiness, and so I haven't got that much time to spend on this, but I've got a teaching entitled How to Find, Follow, and Fulfill God's Will that will expound on a lot of these points that I am going to touch on today. And if you really would like to get that, you can go to our website, you can get that, you can get a book. We've got a study guide on it. We've got DVDs, CDs. You can call in and get those materials. But for you to really experience true joy and true peace and true fulfillment, you need to quit doing your own thing, and you need to know that you're doing what God has called you to do. Now, this is a brand new concept to some people, because the average person, even the average Christian, basically feels like it's their life to live. They can do whatever they want to, and then they just ask God to bless what they're doing. I've talked to so many people that this is what they do. They want to be pleasing to God, and so they're doing basically their own thing. They become a banker or a teacher or, you know, an artist or whatever your vocation is, because this is just kind of the way that fate made things go. It's what your parents did. It's what your parents wanted, and so you do this. And they just kind of let life push them into a direction, and they don't know for sure that God has called them to do it. But they, if they get born again and if they love God, they say, God, just, you know, be glorified by my life. And they are doing whatever, you know, has just come to them, and they trust that somehow or another it's right, but they have no assurance that God has led them to do this. This says specifically that they were assured that God had led them into Macedonia. And one of the reasons that they could rejoice and praise God, even after being falsely accused, beaten with whips, put in a dungeon, put their feet and hands in the stocks, facing possible execution and all of these things, is because they knew that they had done what God told them to do. And I'm telling you that there is a satisfaction, there is a peace and a contentment that comes when you know that you're doing what God has called you to do that you cannot have any other way. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make a statement here that I really don't have time to fully explain. So again, if you would like to get further explanation, please get this teaching on how to find, follow, and fulfill God's will. But did you know that sometimes God is the one who gives you a holy dissatisfaction? Now, I'm not talking about that God makes you miserable. I'm not talking about that God is the one that's tormenting you and things like this. No, the Bible says in John chapter 10 that it's the thief comes to steal and kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God's will is for you to have an abundant life. But I'm telling you that God many times will stir you up on the inside and give you a dissatisfaction because the direction you're going is not the direction that God wants you to go. And this is one of the ways that God leads us and guides us is through the desires of our heart. And if you are doing things that aren't what God wants you to do, there is going to be a holy dissatisfaction. You were made for a purpose. And again, I've got lengthy teaching on this. I'm just saying these things very quickly. But in Galatians chapter 1, Paul talked about that he was separated unto the gospel from his mother's womb. In Jeremiah chapter 1, the Lord spoke to Jeremiah and says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, before you came forth out of her belly, I sanctified you and I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. God has a purpose for you from your creation. From the very time that you were conceived. It's not that God looks at you and sees what your talents and what your giftings and what your desires are, and then He responds to you and chooses. No, everything about you, whether you're a male or female, what color you are, where you were born, everything about you was designed by God to fulfill a purpose. God has a purpose for every person's life, and you are not going to reach full contentment, full joy, peace, and happiness until you find what God's purpose for your life is and you begin to do it. There is something about being in the center of God's will that is so satisfying that even if there are, you know, rejection, persecution, problems that go along with it, you just have a peace that you can't get if you don't know that. You know, I got turned on to the Lord in 1968. My best friend was in this same prayer meeting the same night. We both got on fire for God. And I mean, both of us just took off because we had a zeal for God. And both of us, God spoke to us about quitting school and devoting ourselves full-time to the Lord. And so we both did that. When we did that, this was the height of the Vietnam War. It made us eligible for the draft, and we were both going to be drafted. Well, I just decided that, you know, I was going to follow God. God told me to do this, and whatever the consequences were, it's fine with me. So I got drafted, and I got sent to Vietnam. My friend was facing the exact same thing, and he just panicked thinking about going to Vietnam. So he went and talked to a recruiter. He volunteered. He went in for 3 years. I was in for a total of 19 months, just over a year and a half. He was in for 3 years, and he avoided Vietnam. He went to Korea. But did you know, we wrote back and forth, and Steve just said, I think I've missed God. I should have just trusted God, and if God, you know, God will take care of me. But he lived for those 3 years in turmoil and didn't have peace because he felt like he missed God and out of fear just did something wrong. And you know what? It affected him. And he didn't renounce his faith in the Lord, but he cooled off. And today, you wouldn't even know that he was ever in that same place where I was touched and things like that. He went a totally different direction. And I'm telling you, a large part of it came because he was just constantly saying, I think I missed God. And therefore, he felt like all of the things that were happening to him, all the pressures and stuff, he felt like I brought this upon myself. He wasn't able to appropriate God's grace and mercy in that situation. I went through Vietnam, suffered much more negative circumstances than he did. But see, I had a peace knowing that, God, I'm doing what you've told me to do. These things that are happening to me are the consequences of what you told me to do. And therefore, I felt like God was responsible. God, you're going to have to deal with this. God, you're going to have to protect me. God, you're going to make these things work. And you know what? It just made a huge difference. This is the first key or the first secret of Paul's success. He knew he was doing what God had called him to do. Therefore, all of the negative things that came as a result, no problem. You know, I was in a situation in Charlotte, North Carolina. I've told this before, but I know that not everybody watches this program all the time. But I have a partner there that owns a business. He allows me to come in and speak to his staff, and he tells them the clock's running. You're being paid. Listen to this guy as long as you want to talk. And a few years back, I went and spoke. And when I came out after ministering to this man's staff, I came out, there was a woman, an Oriental lady, that was sitting at the reception desk, and she wasn't in that group. And so I introduced myself to her, and I said, why weren't you back there? And she says, oh, I'm the new kid on the block. And she said, they left me to answer the phones while this meeting was going on. She said, who are you? And so I told her, and she says, what do you do for a living? And I said, I'm a minister. And she, her eyes got big. She says, for who? And I said, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And she looks at me and she says, you're the one. And I said, I'm the one what? And she told me that she was a Buddhist. And that the previous night, she'd been going through her rituals. I'm not sure what all that was, but she was doing her prayers and things that Buddhists do. And in her heart, she just felt like, this was just a ritual. It wasn't really real. It wasn't connecting with God. And so she just stopped all of this. And she prayed. And she says, God, I know you exist, but I can't believe that this is the way to connect with you. And she says, if you're real, then I ask you to reveal yourself to me. Show me who you are. And she said that this ball of light came right up in front of her, and it was just pulsating, and she knew she was in the presence of God. And then she heard an audible voice that said, tomorrow, I'm going to send you a man who will tell you who I am. And then she looked at me, and she says, you must be the man. And I said, I am the man. And I got to lead this lady to the Lord. I got to share the baptism of the Holy Spirit, her speaking in tongues. And that was wonderful. But you know, even greater than that, when I went out and sat in my car, I remember thinking, God, I was in the exact spot that I was supposed to be. You knew I was going to be here. You told this woman I'd be there. And boy, I tell you, the peace and the satisfaction of knowing that you are doing exactly what God told you to do. There is nothing like this in the world. And one of the reasons that many of you don't have peace and joy and contentment in your life is because you don't know that you are doing what God called you to do. You're doing what life has just dealt you. You are just following circumstances. You're like a pinball. You know, most people, honestly, are very similar to a pinball. You just pull this lever back, you launch that ball, and then it's just boing, boing, boing. You bounce off. This happened to you, so you go this direction, and this person rejected you. And you just do this, and, you know, this is kind of the way that a lot of people's life is. It's just, they didn't plan it. It's just happening. I'm telling you, that's not the way God made us to be. God made every one of you with purpose. And you've only got one chance of getting that purpose right. And it's not going to just naturally happen. There's a lot of people that put so much faith into fate. And I really dislike that whole concept. There's even a lot of Christians, and I know I'm probably countering a lot of people's religious traditions right here, but there's a lot of Christians that believe in the sovereignty of God, that nothing happens but what God allows, and that God somehow or another, like a celestial chess game, just moves you supernaturally, and that everything in your life is ordained by God. I'm telling you that is rubbish. That is trash. That is not what the Bible teaches at all. God does not cause everything that happens in your life. That is not what the Word of God teaches. You know, another thing that goes right along with this is that there's a lot of people that think that if you are in the center of God's will, then that just guarantees that everything is going to be smooth sailing. And there's many Christians that will look for the simplest, smoothest, easiest way for things to happen, assuming that that is some kind of a verification that you were in the center of God's will. Right here, this very story of Paul and Silas going to Philippi disproves that. Because they had this vision, and they knew for sure that God had called them to go into Macedonia. They got there, and within hours of being there, they were rejected. They were maligned. They were brought before the magistrates. They were beaten. They were condemned. They were put in prison. They were put in the dungeon. Their feet and hands in stocks. Everything had gone wrong. According to many people's way of thinking, that is sure proof that they must have missed God somewhere. That's not true. They were exactly where God told them to be, and yet there was terrible opposition and bad things that happened. This idea of thinking that if you are doing what God calls you to do, then everything's just going to automatically work is incorrect. The Bible doesn't teach that circumstances are how you discern God's will. I know many people pray for that. No, God, if you want me to do this, then just let all of these things line up and fall into place. I mean, I've heard stories about people saying, God, if you really want me to do this, then let this dog walk this direction and a cat this direction. I mean, it's stuff that's as stupid as that. God, let this light just, let all of the lights you turn green so that I won't stop. That is a stupid, terrible way for you to discern God's will. And there are some people that think that if God is calling them to do something, that everything just falls in line. I had many, many people talk to me about coming to our Bible college, and they say, God has spoken to me and told me that I'm supposed to come, and I'm just waiting on a confirmation. If my house sells, if this happens, if every person is in agreement, if everybody agrees with what I'm doing, and on they go. And yet they started by saying that they feel God has told them, and now they're just looking for circumstances, for all of the planets to align, and then that'll be a confirmation to them. That is not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God does not teach that circumstances either confirm or dissuade you that God has called you to do something. But if you were going to use circumstances, I don't think you should, but if you were going to use it, I could show you more examples of people who did exactly what God told them to do, and it looked like all hell broke loose. If you were going to interpret God's will by circumstances, it would probably be more accurate to say that if there is opposition, if there's resistance, if it seems like everything is going wrong, that's probably more of an indicator of God's will. Now, again, I don't think that you should use circumstances one way or the other, but I'm saying that it is just scripturally incorrect to think that everything is going to work out smoothly if you do what God tells you to do. You know, in my life, the Lord has just spoken to me. He's given me things. And if God tells me to do something, I'll do it if it hair-lips the devil. I'll do it if it causes my own destruction. And I know some of you think, well, that's easy for you to say, but I've lived it. You know, I was in a situation where I'd been in ministry for over 10 years. I had struggled. People stayed away from my meetings by the thousands. And we were just struggling financially in every single way. In Childress, Texas, we finally began to have about 100 people coming to the church, and we were eating on a regular basis. I actually bought a house. It looked like we were going to live and not die. Things were going good. And then God told me to move to Pritchett, Colorado, which is so close to the end of the earth that you can see it from there. I mean, it is no place. There was only 144 people in the town, and the next closest town had 100 people. It was in the middle of nowhere. There was 10 people in a church in a town of 144. Did you know that the potential there was not very good? And God told me to leave this church that for the first time we were running 100 people. It looked like I was going to live and not die. We had bought a house. Things were working. And God told me to leave it all and go to a place, a town of 144 people, 10 people in the church. And you know what? I knew it was God's will, and I just did it. And in the natural, it looked like there was no way to succeed, that the only way I would ever leave Pritchett, Colorado was feet first. And yet, that's what God told me to do, and I just did it. And forget the consequences. Forget whatever it is. Quit leaning under your own understanding. I just did what God told me to do. And did you know that I had a supernatural peace and satisfaction? There was a lot of criticism. There was a lot of rejection. I received a lot of persecution. I had people threaten to kill me while I was there. And yet there was such a supernatural peace. And not long after I was there, I had to leave that church, but it was the open door to the radio ministry and then the television ministry. That's when we incorporated the Andrew Womack Ministries, 1978. Everything began to work. It turned out that it was a good thing, but it looked like it was going to destroy me. I'm just saying that you do not use circumstances to determine God's will. You go by what God says, and Paul assuredly gathered that God had sent him into Macedonia, and that's one of the reasons, one of the primary reasons that he was able to break out into song and rejoice, because even though everything had gone wrong, he was exactly where God wanted him to be. He knew something good would come out of it. And sure enough, the jailer got born again. His household got born again. All of these prisoners got born again. It fell out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. And I tell you, you need to know what God's will for your life is. I'm out of time today, but I will continue this on our program tomorrow. I encourage you to watch the program. Also, listen to our announcer. We've got this brand new product on Paul's Secrets to Happiness, and I promise you it would be a blessing to you. Our announcer is going to give you information about how you can get all of this product, and I encourage you to please call or write and receive it today. Then join me again tomorrow for the Gospel Truth.
Andrew's teaching titled Paul's Secrets to Happiness is available on either CD or DVD as seen on TV. Or if you prefer, you can get the live DVD that was recorded at a Gospel Truth seminar. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled Paul's Secrets to Happiness, Part 1. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of September, he'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina, Johnson City, Tennessee, Colorado Springs, Colorado, and at the Sanctuary in Woodland Park, Colorado for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference. In October, he'll be in Walsall, England, and in Kampala, Uganda. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
Thank you, friends and partners. Your investment in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College continues to make disciples worldwide. In 2005, Jeff Nakula was living in Michigan when he started watching a preacher on television named Andrew Womack.
I watched some of his shows and then I ordered a bunch of teachings. And the next thing I knew, I signed up to come to his Bible college.
That same year, Autumn Dill attended a gospel truth seminar in her home state of Tennessee.
One day, my parents called me and said, would you like to come with us to a gospel truth seminar in Alabama with Andrew Womack? And so after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, I knew going to Charis Bible College was the next step.
During their time at CBC, God called both of them into ministry. Their mutual calling to help a friend with his mission work led Jeff and Autumn to see each other more often. Through their faith and time at CBC, God brought the two of them together, and they were married.
Our relationship progressed pretty quickly. She came up to visit me at the ranch a lot.
I was ready to get married, and I wanted to marry him, and I didn't want to be apart from him anymore.
During their honeymoon, they both felt called to go to India for mission work. They left right away and discovered a mutual love for spreading the good news and work of missionaries through media and video. Today, Jeff and Autumn are instructors at CBC. They teach in the media school and show future CBC world changers how to effectively communicate the gospel through media and video. Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College, changing lives and changing the world for 20 years. Go to charisbiblecollege.org for more information.